We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Green Bay Packers fans? Welcome back to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. The, holy crap, it's like a week away, draft edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is quickly approaching. I'm your host, Jacob Morley, joined today by Owen Reese. And Owen, we're going to talk about kind of what everyone's talking about right now. I feel like a lot of the draft content, we are very much at the point where, man, like people will come to me with their opinions on players and people I respect, you know, even. And like there is a certain part of the draft process where I feel like you argue for your guys. And I just feel like we're even beyond that. Where people are like, I don't like this guy. I do like this guy. I'm like, okay. Like, I like him. And I like him for these reasons. Well, I don't like him for these reasons. Okay. You know, like, that's really just kind of where we're at. And we're ready for this thing to kind of take off. But the other thing that everyone has been talking about this week is Rob Demoski made some waves talking about how he thinks there's people, or he has talked to people in the organization that think, and to quote Rob, said they think he is, Zach Tom is a Pro Bowl right tackle, an All-Pro guard, and a potential Hall of Fame center. So that kind of got everything stirred up, and everyone has been talking about either you are pro, yeah, move Zach Tom to center if you think he's that good, or you are pro, dang, I think he could be that good at right tackle, and right tackle is probably a more premium position. So I know the people probably want to get your opinion on this, Owen, as one of probably like four or five guys that people should probably listen to about offensive line play. There's a lot of people out there that talk about it. I'm not one of them. And there are people when they talk, you need to listen. So, Owen, I think you're one of those guys. And kind of walk us through, you know, your process and I guess your thought process when you hear like, hey, the Packers are going to move Zach Tom to center.
Yeah, so it's an interesting thought. So for those who are a little less familiar, so Zach Tom started his career at Wake Forest as a center, and in 2019 played center as a sophomore. And his last 2 years at Wake Forest, he played left tackle. We scouted Zach Tom for the East-West Shrine Bowl. I do the ACC, so I was very familiar with Zach. And I suggested we bring him in, and I saw him as a center in the NFL, ironically enough. And I said, I think Zach Tom is going to be a little bit limited lengthwise, but I think and he's came into the, even to the Shrine Bowl, was under 300 pounds. But I was like, he's an incredible athlete for a center. And has experience doing it, and in the prevalence of the wide zone scheme, kind of, you know, spreading through the NFL, whether it's Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan or Arthur Smith or Gary Kubiak or Matt LaFleur or Mike LaFleur or, you know, any of the, you know, the many guys throughout the league that are kind of majoring in a wide zone offense, you know, movement as an offensive lineman, in particular in the interior, is really important. And so all that being said, Zach Tom played center at the East-West Shrine Bowl and got drafted by the Packers, and they kept him at tackle. And he's become a very good tackle there, and kind of taught me. I was like, well, maybe like I should be a bit more open to, right? Like, he was a very good athlete. Just let him play tackle first, right? So I don't doubt that Zach Tom can play center. He has experience doing it. My concerns with him at center would be the same now as they were when he was coming out of college. Zach Tom is a very good offensive lineman, but he is far from a physically dominant force. He's very intelligent. He's very smart. He's very athletic. I don't think it would be out of line to call him a finesse player as an offensive lineman. So as a center, I would still be worried about him playing against bigger, thicker, stronger nose tackles. I don't think that'll ever be a strength of his, but obviously you try to counter that with his athleticism and movement ability. Realistically, the first thought I had was, okay, so if you want to move Zach Tom to center, who plays right tackle, right? And so football fans have been kind of, I try not to be too much of like the old man yelling at the clouds here, but like, for the most part, football fans, I think, are fairly spoiled by like Madden, where you can just move any player to any offensive line position and realistically nothing changes, right? I would argue offensive line is maybe as much of a skilled position as any in football, that takes – you're asking inferior athletes to block superior athletes, moving both forwards and backwards. And it takes a lot of repetitions to get good at it. And so – the quick and easy thing has always been like, oh yeah, we'll just have them switch sides. Like, well, okay. The next time you go to the bathroom and you're going to sit down and do it, try wiping with the other hand, right? Like, we'll just go do it with the other hand. It's easy, right? Just, it's the same thing. It's just the other hand, right? And it's not, right? And it's a repetition thing, and it's a muscle memory thing. And so all of that being said, I've always been afraid, or at least leery of, making one position worse to improve another, right? If all things equal, well, we have three tackles, but we have no center, and one of the tackles has experience at center. Cool, go do it. But like, in my brain, with the Packers letting David Bakhtiari go and Yosh Nijman signing with the Panthers, they currently have two starting level players at tackle on their team. So if you're going to willingly move one of them to center, one, what's the plan? Or two, are they pigeonholing themselves into a tackle in the first round, or at least one of the first three picks of their draft? So those are some of the first things that came to mind. As far as trying to extrapolate Zach Tom into being a Hall of Fame anything, I think it's a bit extreme. I'm not saying that he couldn't do it. I'm saying it's a bit irresponsible to say that about nearly anybody, much less a guy that, you know, has played in the NFL for 2 years and has been a slightly above average tackle. You know, like, I think Zach Tom has a promising career in the NFL, regardless of what position he's at. I would call it a stretch to call 99% of NFL players a future Hall of Fame anything. So that's where I'm at. I have a lot of thoughts. I think all of us require more context that is not available right now. But those were my immediate reactions to that news today from Rob Domofsky.
Yeah, and two things that you said that really stand out to me is, one, I think it is not only irresponsible, but kind of weird for a personnel guy to say that about a player when they know how lofty that is and how kind of crazy that is. So it makes me wonder, who actually were you talking to, Rob? Was it Wes? Were you talking to Wes? You know, like, did Wes Hockowitz say this? You know, and so the other thing that really, you know, stands out to me with Zach Tom is you talk about how many starting tackles do you have? Last year, you could have made the case that they had four. And so going into camp, you know, I don't know what they thought of Bakhtiari's knee at the beginning of last year, but I'm assuming they thought he could play because he did. And you're giving Zach Tom the job at right tackle. Cool. You still probably like Yosh. Rashid established pretty quickly that he was going to be a player, you know, or a player that they liked. And so at that point, why are you not exploring the Zach Tom to center thing more? Maybe, and you know, there's answers to that question. And I think that's why it's an interesting discussion. Maybe the answer is, well, we still really like Josh. Okay. Well, we're still not sure what Rashid is. We're still not sure about what Yosh is. You know, we're not sure about David's knee and all that stuff. And that's fine. And I get all that. And, you know, the context part, like you said, is, you know, very important, because right now I'm very much team leave him alone. Like, just let him play right tackle. I think you saw in that San Francisco 49ers game when Zach Tom went out of the game, there's a noticeable drop off on what they were able to do on offense. And I don't know if that is directly related to Zach Tom or not. But you know, that's just how it was. And so I think the tackle position is just so much more valuable than the center. If he's a Hall of Fame center, sure. Yeah. Like, move him to center. If he's the next Jason Kelce, hell yeah. Move him to center. Don't look back. But we have not seen Zach Tom play center. I have no idea if he's good. I don't know how good he might be. He's an above average tackle right now. He might just be an above average center. And everyone's been kind of throwing that scenario out. Like, well, what, you know, would you rather have a Hall of Fame center or would you rather have a Pro Bowl tackle? Well, yeah, you take the Hall of Fame center, of course. But what if you just have a Pro Bowl tackle and a Pro Bowl center? Take the tackle, you know, like that's what I think is more important, quite frankly. The other piece of this that is kind of worth talking about, I guess, is it any coincidence that this news kind of came out now, a week before the draft, when it's lying season? You know, people are trying to pigeonhole what are the Packers going to do in the first round. You listen to any national draft show, whenever they're doing whenever they're doing a mock draft, they get to pick 25, and it's almost like a running joke. Like, well, I don't know what they're going to do here. Like, they don't really need to do anything. Their needs are weird because it doesn't really align with who you usually take at pick 25. Like, their biggest needs are probably safety and linebacker and, you know, backup tackle if Zach Tom stays at tackle. Like, is that a position you take at 25? Like, I don't know. And so it's, you know, it's interesting that Green Bay comes out now and this information gets leaked, and now everyone's kind of just like, oh, they're going to take a tackle. Like, they're going to take a tackle at 25. That's what's going to happen. And they very well might. And they probably should, because that it's a great tackle class. But is it just throwing stuff off? Is it just kind of throwing something in the wind to kind of get people off their trail? Are they going to take somebody that, God, who knows? You know, like, we were talking before the show, Owen, the Packers are, we're lucky to have, you know, 30 years really of evidence of what they typically like to do. And I emphasize typically, because we don't know. You know, there are some people, Owen, that will tell you Graham Barton cannot play tackle because an eighth of an inch on his arm. Like, the Packers are sitting there in their high tower just taking him off their board because, that eighth of an inch is just not quite enough. Like, I don't think NFL teams operate that way. And so, you know, all this stuff goes to show kind of too, like, even with Zach Tom, you know, he was a guy too that a lot of people thought would be a Packer, ended up being a Packer, and kind of got that one right as a whole of Packers Twitter. But The other interesting thought that I have about this is like, man, if they really want to move on from Josh Myers and they want to keep Zach Tom at right tackle, that Elgton Jenkins is very similar to Zach Tom. And it was interesting to me that his name wasn't really thrown around as someone that could just slide over to center. And I don't know, you know, maybe that's something that they let the draft kind of figure out. And, you know, maybe Owen, we're sitting here May 5th or whatever the heck it is at the end of the draft. And this picture is going to become a lot more clear about what they wanted to do. So, you know, that's kind of just, I guess, our take on the Zach Tom, you know, deal. And I do want to ask you, Owen, we talked about this pre-show. We're 8 days out. 8 days out, and the Packers do or they don't pick at pick 25.
Many of you, like myself, are Wisconsin sports fans. Well, it's not Packer season anymore, there's still some really exciting action coming up in the world of Wisconsin sports. The Bucks are getting ready to kick off their postseason run, which is hopefully a lot more fun than their regular season run. And while the Brewers, meanwhile, are off to a hot start, hopefully they can continue that to start their 2024 campaign. But whether you're a Bucks fan, a Brewers fan, or a fan of any other hockey, baseball, or basketball team right now, there's never been a better time to start playing Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your knowledge into serious cash. Right now, you can win 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and MLB entries today. Prize Picks is super simple to play, and I'm able to log in, make my picks, and submit my entry in under 60 seconds. Add in the ease of Apple Pay for quick deposits, easy withdrawals, tons of player selections, and injury insurance, and you can easily see why Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app. This week, I'm going LeBron James and Steph Curry in their play-in tournaments. I can't wait to see what they do to try to keep their playoff hopes alive. Whatever picks you make, and regardless of who you select, the best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I think they will, but we talked about this. Like, I don't think moving in either direction would surprise me, right? With the Packers' amount of ammo they have right now, right? They have 25, they have 41. No, is it?
Yeah, 41, 58. 25, 41, 58.
Yep. And then they also have 88 and 91. Yep. And so they've got 5 picks in the top 91 picks, which for a team that, right, like was on the doorstep of the NFC Championship game, that's more ammunition than you normally have, right? Like typically that's this team is picking 4th, 23rd, 38th, 39th, and whatever, right? And they're resetting their franchise. This allows the Packers to do a couple things. One, they can be patient and move back and just simply say, like, you know, we don't feel comfortable here. We know we're going to get guys that are going to help contribute for us later in the second round. We have 2 picks back there. We can move back if we have a particular guy in mind that doesn't get here. Or and we talked about this earlier, and I think this hasn't been discussed in good faith a ton. I mean, obviously everyone likes to joke around that every team's going to trade up a million things for whatever player they like. But for a team that has, realistically, Rashawn Gary coming off, I mean, a year removed from a pretty serious injury, Lucas Van Ness, who will be coming into eventually a starting role, but this past year is more of just a rotational guy. And Preston Smith is a guy who's over 30 years old, and this will be the first time he will have played with his hand in the dirt since Mississippi State. You know, them trading up to, you know, say, I don't know, I mean, talking about like what Brian Gutekunst talked about, right? Like, it's easy for forefront teams to get small really quick. But like, it wouldn't surprise me if they jump up to, I don't know, 17, if either Dallas Turner were to fall or Jared Verse, or if they really like, you know, Latu, and they're afraid that he's going to go where, you know, whatever the case may be, they have the ammunition to move up fairly significantly without sacrificing the entire draft. Right. Like I don't have the chart in front of me, and I'll, for the sake of conversation, you know, but say, you know, they really think that, you know, they really covet Jared Verse, right? They think he's the best pure pass rusher in the draft. And for a team that has invested heavily in that position, and I would assume will continue to do so, in particular with this defense, I mean, you trade 25, 88, and a third next year, and you move up 9 spots, and you go get who they, or someone like that, like who they could deem as a potential game changer at pass rusher, or at corner, you know, Quinyon Mitchell, somebody like, you know, like whatever the case may be. Like, I do think there is somewhat of a, hasn't been talked about a ton, again, in good faith or like with any true legitimacy, of the Packers can be within striking distance of a fairly legitimate jump up without completely sacrificing the entire class or hamstringing them in the future. And that's something that, again, whatever direction they decide to go, like, for whatever reason, it seems like Olufashano seems to have kind of had prospect fatigue in this class and has just been the top guy for too long. And then all of a sudden you have to throw Amarius Mims up there because he started 8 games, but he's huge, or whatever the case may be, right? Like, if they, you know, it wouldn't surprise me in some scenario if, like, J.C. Latham or Talis Fuanga goes up, and before Olufashanu for whatever reason, you know, or some scenario like that. So I think the Packers are in a good spot here because again, like, and we were just talking about Zach Tom, if they decide like, no, we're going to go trade up and get a big time tackle because we're going to move Zach Tom to center, and that's our situation and that's our solution to it. You know, I think that's a real thing. The one thing I did want to end this and add to, you mentioned the timing of this. This is the beginning of the Packers offseason program as well, right? And so who knows if this is just a ploy to kind of light a fire under Josh Myers' rear end as well. Who knows if they really do want to get Zach Tom some reps at center. Obviously, a multitude of reserve practice squad guys to tackle for Green Bay as well, whether it's Kadeem Telford or Caleb Jones or Luke Tenuta. And no, I don't think that any of those guys are ever going to really be in a position to like play meaningful snaps. But like, for the sake of putting guys in different spots, maybe Green Bay wants to play Zach Tom at center in the offseason program. Or maybe they want to see more of Kadeem Telford at right tackle or whatever the case may be. So just another thought or another potential reality for that situation. Again, we haven't been provided with that additional context or reasoning for.
And you have nothing to lose. They have nothing to lose by putting that out there. If that's what they want, like, I don't know, we'll see what sticks. And the thing that really is interesting to me when you talk about like stick pick, you know, trade back, trade up, I don't know. I'm starting to get the vibe, and this is vibes only. Believe me, vibes, homie. But like, when you look at just the way the draft may fall, it appears that, you know, 25, they might be kind of standing there with their, you know what, in their hand, and they have the capital to move up and go get someone they really like. And we've seen Goody do it in the past. And the tackle thing is interesting to me because it's a really good tackle class. They could stay, and I bet there'll be someone there that, you know, is a nice prospect, but they might, you know, maybe they really love, you know, Fashanu or Fuaga or Fatanu, like one of these guys that they think is just going to be, or maybe, hell, maybe it's Graham Barton that they want to move up for, because they just, you know, we think he might be there at 25. They know he's going to be gone by 18, right? So who knows? But the other thing that kills me too is just, like, you know, they haven't typically taken offensive linemen in the first round. And that's true. But some of that, you know, especially tackle, some of that is because they just have always had good tackle play as well. It's never really been a huge need. I mean, they went from Tauscher and Cliff to Bakhtiari and Bulaga, and then straight into, you know, Zach Tom. Like, it's never been something that they really needed. And when they did need it, guess who the picks were? Bulaga, you know, Sherrod. You know, Derek Sherrod, a lot of people forget, like, they, you know, Tauscher was on the way out. Cliffy was on the way out. They needed, you know, a young left tackle the year after winning a Super Bowl. So they went out and took Derek Sherrod, who was very much a project. Like, a lot of people forget that Derek Sherrod was like, he's kind of the guy that just slipped into the first round because tackles get pushed up. So, you know, they've taken guys there before when they need one, or when they think they're going to need one in the future. And, you know, they're signaling that might be the case right now, is they think they need one. They do need one. They might not, maybe don't need one to start, but they need someone that is going to be able to come in and play a competent level of offensive tackle in the NFL, because if history has told us anything, it's the fact that, you know, Rashid Walker and Zach Tom, if those are your two guys going into the year and you have nothing behind them, that's bad, because one of those guys is going to miss time. Like, it's just, that's how it goes. But, you know, I am looking forward to this being behind us. I'm very much at that. Like, I love the draft process. Obviously, I'm a huge nerd about all this stuff, but I am very much at the point where I'm sick of it. I'm ready for the picks. I'm ready for the players to be Packers. I'm ready for some of my favorite players, you know, in this process, kind of see where they land, even though, you know, even if they're not Packers, to kind of follow them and see what goes on with all that. But we'll have one more episode, and I'm sure we'll do more, you know, maybe try to get some predictions going, which I know everybody does, and all that yada yada stuff. But we're kind of at the point where you guys, if you've been listening, you know who the names are. We know who the names are. History tells us they'll probably take someone that we talked about, and history tells us that maybe they won't. Maybe pick 25 comes around and they take Andrew Phillips, Kentucky, you know, corner, who's getting some round one buzz recently. Like, I don't know. He's someone that we've hardly talked about at all.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
I think, too, when you mentioned this, and not to pull this around too long, so I agree with you, but the fan of, like, well, no, like, they haven't taken offensive line in the first round, let's entertain that, right? Because for the sake of a different conversation, which is more so what I think you're getting at, and I agree with you, it's just to the point where it's like, you continue to come back to the same answers, or you have the same people responding with the same things of this, like, The problem is and I'm as guilty as this as anybody, is when you come into the mock simulator land, I'm gonna pull way back here, but I used to play way too much Madden when I was younger, and I eventually found out, and I don't remember a lot of trial and error to figure this out, but I remember that every player in Madden would get picked by one of the same four teams, right? And I remember I grew up and I always wanted Ray Lewis in the first round, and I knew that he would only go to the Ravens, the Jaguars, the Giants, or whoever the other team was. I don't know. But like. And I would go and I would fantasy draft and fantasy draft and fantasy draft until I could get the latest pick I could that one of those two or three teams hadn't been before me. Right. And so explains a lot about who I am as a person, really. But it becomes the same thing, right? Where you do the mock draft simulator so much, you're like, well, I know I can get Graham Barton at 25. So I'm going to look at this pot at this at 41 and this at 58. But if I need to get Edge Cooper, I might have to take him at 25 because on this side he'll be there at 41, but this one he won't, right? Like, and you – it just – the fact of the matter is the NFL draft happens one time per year and mock draft simulators happen multiple times per day, right? So, like, that is what that is. So all of that to get back to, let's entertain that they don't take an offensive lineman in the first round, right? But they still may trade up. Right, we saw Goody traded back, and then traded back up for Jair Alexander. They traded up for Darnell Savage. They've shown the ability, right? Like they took Rashawn Gary early. They took Lucas Van Ness early, right? So cool, right? All four of those guys, not offensive linemen, but they still could trade up. And even if it's not for a pass rusher, I don't think it's out of the realm to consider like Terrion Arnold or Kool-Aid McKinstry, right? Or like I said, or Jared Verse. Or if they get really concerned, or maybe Johnny Newton or Byron Murphy fall, right? This is a four-front defense, and Brian Gutekunst did say you can get small early, but drafting a 295-pound defensive tackle, I think, is enough, right? It's not Tavondre Sweat, but I don't think you're at too much risk to getting too small there, okay? Because maybe they can do that because they're locked in. They, the Packers, not Green Bay, or not me, playing as Green Bay on a mock draft simulator, not whoever else pouring over the thresholds or whatever else, they might be locked in. They're like, we're going to take Blake Fisher at 58. And that's our right tackle. And we're going to do that, right? Like it's simply as feasible of a outcome as me getting locked into Tyler Newbin, or you getting locked into Graham Barton, or the Packers will not draft this guy because of this thing, right? Like, and so all of that to say, like, it's good that we have these educated guesses, but I think it's a fool's errand to straight up, hard and fast say they will not do something because of this, right? Like, we've discussed this before. Graham Barton's arms are slightly shorter than what they typically have done, right? And this is not me name-dropping people or something. But I've texted multiple Packers scouts that I've met through the All-Star Game scouting process and just simply asked, right? We discussed Tyler Newbin's athletic testing. Does the athletic testing scare you off? No, because we didn't think he was going to be a good athlete. We know he's not healthy. We have a lot of evaluation that stands alone from one day of running in underwear, right? Will Graham Barton's arms keep you from considering him as an offensive tackle prospect? Just simply, I got a response, no. Right? So, like, while we have all this information, and I think you would be wrong for not attempting to consider it, again, like, allow yourself to be a fan of a team and allow yourself to be a fan of the process. I think it's, like, the biggest thing I'll leave you with, because I'm at the same thing, right? Like, we've already started scouting the 2025 East-West Shrine Bowl. Like, nobody is more sick of the 24 draft than me. But, like, you can't get, like, like if you get too, I don't know, like, pardon my, you know, but like if you get your panties too much in a bunch about being so locked in that you can't, like, one guy, I'm like, dude, like, the whole point of this is to have fun, right? Like to give yourself a guess. You can give yourself a pretty good chance. Like, I'm 99% sure they will not consider A, right? And that's cool. But to, like, zone in that they will only consider one of these eight guys, because I'm like, I don't think you're correct on that. And you've kind of, you know, mentioned that as well. And so I just, like, if the listeners take one thing from this podcast away, just like enjoy the draft, man. Like, we're getting so close. Everyone spends so much time worrying about this that ultimately none of us have the littlest modicum of control over, right? Brian Gutekunst will draft who he thinks is the best addition to the Green Bay Packers, right? And we'll move on with our lives. And on May 8th, we'll be talking about whoever the hell they draft, because whether it's someone that has the thresholds or not, or whether it's someone we like or not, that's going to be the reality.
Yep.
You know, so like just I think it's cool that we have this much information on the draft prospects. I think it defeats the purpose if you don't, like, if you treat it like it's a gospel. Like,
you shouldn't
have to watch 300 dudes and be like, well, they could take anybody. But like, to sit here and tell you, like, well, they're only going to take one of these four guys, like, I don't think you're right either.
Yep.
Like, I texted another scout and he was like, I was like, yeah, like, you'll be in a good spot to take this guy or this guy. He just straight up told me, he's like, a lot of things can happen. He's like, don't get locked into one or two guys. Like, he's like, I can tell you that we're not. You know what I mean? So like, it's.
And that is how you get, that's how you end up standing there with your dick in your hand. Like at the 25, it's like, oh man, we really like Barton and Dejean.
Graham Barton was there every single time on the pro football focus mock simulator. Yeah. Like,
and that's the, you know, it's, and you hit all the right points too, because it is fun. It is supposed to be fun. And that's why we do this stuff. And that's why we talk about it ad nauseum, and we love it, you know, and like, whoever they pick, love them or hate them, you know, made, you know, was on your shortlist, wasn't, they're Green Bay Packers. And, you know, good fans will root for that guy, you know, because at the end of the day, I want someone on my team that's going to help me win football games. And if I liked you, didn't like you, draft, like, I've been wrong plenty of times. I've been right a few times too, but like, that's not really the whole point of all this. And the last guy I talked to that was in an NFL building, when we talk about like thresholds, measurements, stuff like that, he just called it fan fiction, you know, just straight up was, and that's not, and I didn't take that as like a slight, is he's right. Like, you know, when Game of Thrones was out, you go on Reddit and people were writing fan fiction about what, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to, and it's a blast. It is so much fun. Sometimes it was right. And a lot of times it wasn't, but like, that's what we're doing here. And we're loving it. And that's why, you know, nerds like us get in front of a microphone once a week and talk about it. And that's why nerds like you guys put it on your podcast, you know, like it's fun. And we're at that point where like the fun is really about to kick off on April 25th. So we'll have one more episode here before then, but we're getting there, guys. We're getting there. Thanks for tuning in here, and we'll catch you guys next time. Until then, go Pack, go.